out of the frying pan. 20 minutes after talking with David, Glenn came crunching up the driveway to their house north of Prentice. "It's a good thing you brought your papers with you," Tricia told him once they were inside. "I found out that my car has a device attached which might tell someone where I've been, or, more importantly, where I've stopped." "Which might explain how a sheriff found out where to find Quentin Russell so easily," Glenn concluded. "Someone might think that I dropped the papers off at the office before I came here this evening." "We should think about putting the papers down in our basement, then, for safekeeping." Tricia helped him take the boxes out of the car and into their basement before settling down for what she hoped would be a good night's sleep. She woke up at around 3 a.m. to find that Glenn was in their kitchen on the telephone. "That was Harold," he told her when he hung up. "He said that he thought he might have scared off a couple of intruders trying to get into the station just now. What really concerned him was that the suspects drove off in what appeared to be some sort of a patrol car." "Could have been Sheriff Hill, maybe even one of Russell's men. I suspect there may be one or two still embedded in some of the sheriff's offices in the area." "You think it might be a good idea to take your car down there and pretend to move the papers?" "I hardly think so, at least right now," Tricia told him. "I don't think that they'll be back until they're convinced that the journals are still in there. We'll put on a show for anyone who might be watching when we get there, when we go there in the morning." They went back to bed, getting up for what was for them a late start at 6:30. An hour later, Tricia went alone down to the radio station of Magnolia. While a college student Glenn hired to run Sunday morning programming was busy on the telephone, Tricia rummaged around Glenn's office to find 2 empty boxes which she filled with scrap paper. She managed to enlist the student's help getting both boxes into the trunk of her car. No one appeared to be around, so she took a deep breath and started to take the drive to Elizabethton by way of Cincinnati and Louisville. 10 minutes down the highway, she spotted the pickup truck which followed her out of Rainsboro, lurking in the shadows of a side road. Her cell phone rang. "I'm going to follow you in about 15 minutes, David told her when she answered. "If anyone else is trying to follow your trail, I should be able to let you know soon." He hung up before she could answer. 15 minutes later, David called again. "There's a police-issued Crown Vic following you by roughly 7 minutes. Another set of eyes confirmed your tale. You'll be meeting your contact just about noon at a BP station just east of the interstate at exit 94. Pull to a pump and start filling up, leaving the keys in the car. A fellow named Rich will come over, identify himself, and take over pumping. He'll hand you a set of car keys to a rental car positioned in the parking lot next to the road. Wait in the building for 15 minutes, then take the rental to the next exit on the interstate south to head back east to Lexington. Call me back when you're passing Bardstown." Before Tricia could ask if David was still behind her, he ended the call. Just after she got on the interstate going around Cincinnati, Glenn called. "I checked on Elsie Kendall a few minutes ago. She's a bit fearful, but otherwise unharmed," he told her when she asked. "She's bonding with your friend April. They're safe for the time being." "You heard anything new about Hoke?" "He's still hiding. I haven't heard anything from him, so I'll assume that he's safe. I'll keep you up to date as best as I can." "Well, how are things going with your lawyer? Is Quentin safe yet?" "Well, I haven't talked with Greg, but Sheriff Roy called me earlier to tell me that he's working on an extradition order and hope to have Mr. Russell back in Fuller County later this afternoon." The remainder of the trip to Elizabethton was uneventful. Tricia met Rich, just like David told her she would. When he handed her the keys to his car, he asked if she was related to Glenn Michaels. He broke into a broad smile when she told him that Glenn was her husband. "I knew him back in the day," he told her. "Make sure you have him along when we swap the cars back again, and you tell him bless you extra good, you hear?" Just minutes after Rich left with her car, she went inside to grab a drink. She noticed that a Crown Victoria resembling the one described by David earlier that morning had pulled up to one of the pumps at the station. She looked over to see if the man driving the car looked familiar. Her heart stopped. The driver appeared to be Will Seeley from the Fuller County Sheriff's Office. She watched him while he pumped gas into the car he was driving. When he finished, He strode over to the store. She went into the women's restroom to wait him out. Minutes ticked by. A woman carrying a small child came into the restroom. Tricia described the man to her and asked if he was still inside. "I didn't notice," the woman replied. "Are you in some sort of trouble, hon?" "He's my ex," Tricia lied. The woman smiled. "I understand," she said. "Mine chased me through 3 states when I left the son of a bitch. I hope he doesn't catch on." Tricia heaved a sigh of relief before leaving the restroom and headed out to the rental car Rich had left her in exchange for the Mustang. She got in the car. Before she could start it, a passenger door swung open. Will Seeley came pouring in. "You're causing a few people an awful lot of trouble, Mrs. Michaels," he hissed. "You and I need to head back to Magnolia so we can get those boxes from wherever you hid them and send them to the shredder." Options. "I'm dead," Tricia thought. Will Seeley instructed her to start driving east. "We'll get back to the highway once we get to Bardstown," he told her. "What are your intentions?" "We're going to see to it you do disappear. Permanently. How easily you make the passage is all up to you." He fastened his seatbelt. She had been thinking of ramming the car into something solid. He wouldn't be so easily tricked. Tricia tried to think of ways to attract attention from someone else. Maybe, just maybe, she could attract attention from the police and put an end to her captivity. Could also end in a murder-suicide. Not one word was said until they arrived in Bardstown. He told her which way to drive to get to the highway. As she was making a left turn to enter the highway entrance ramp, she caught a flash of red which crashed into the passenger side of the rental car, rendering it inoperative. They were both stunned. Tricia managed to regain her senses quickly and got out of the car with her cell phone before Seeley could react. What she saw when she emerged was a red Mustang convertible with a congenial man emerging from the driver's door. "You okay, Miss Tricia?" The other driver waved and smiled at her. "I'm okay, Rich. I'm fine," Tricia answered, half laughing and half crying with relief. "Good thing you blessed me extra good." The police and an ambulance arrived within 5 minutes. Will Seeley suffered from head and neck injuries. When Tricia explained the circumstances to the patrolman on the scene, he was sent to the hospital in Elizabethton under guard. The mess was sorted out within an hour and a half after the accident. Rich's timely yet unexpected arrival came about when he discovered Tricia's tote bag still in the back seat of her car. He turned around and arrived at the gas station just as she was pulling out. Sensing trouble, he took the highway to Bardstown, where he managed to T-bone Tricia's rental car practically in the nick of time. An agent from Tricia's insurance company assured her that she would be taken care of. Another rental car was brought up from a dealer in Elizabethton. She stayed and waited with Rich at a restaurant until his wife came up from Hopkinsville to take them back home. The sun had fallen by the time Tricia was back on the road headed towards Lexington. She called Glenn to advise him on her situation. David was next on her agenda. "I spoke with Rich Leiby," David told her. "Brilliant move on his part. Simply brilliant. Are you on your way to Maysville?" "Well, I'm headed to Lexington and hopefully a good night's sleep," she countered. "I'll head over to Maysville in the morning." "That's good," he assured her. "You might need your rest. You may need to get to Maysville to talk with Tommy White no later than noon. He's at the Angel of Mercy nursing home outside of Maysville, maybe 5 miles from town. Tommy was one of the people who helped my daddy escape from the Ross brothers. When you finish talking with him, head on back to Magnolia." Like before, Tricia was unable to ask David any more questions before he ended the conversation.